All of the horror these and others have faced is in fault to no one but them. It's not the dreamer that's to blame for following its nature. Personally, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
And welcome back to How We Roll Podcast as Pulp Cthulhu. My name's Joe, and I'm playing Charles Blackstone, a Texan 61-year-old cowboy who's hailing from Alaska recently.
Hello, I'm David, and I'm playing Bartholomew Ormond, the immortal, immemorable, other words, person.
Insufferable?
Certainly insufferable. I might totally went blank there.
I'm Curran, and I'm playing Ethan, who's a South African who now believes that he might be a lizard inside. So that's always going to be fun.
Yes. And I'm Lisa, and I am playing Camilla Ravenswood, a sharp-shooting socialite who's out in Bolivia with these gents for a bit of adventure.
And I'm Scott, and I'm your keeper of arcane lore.
And we are lucky enough to be joined today. I say joined today, but we're going to sail off to a small, dirty dive bar in 1930s New York. A grizzled old cowboy sits on a wobbly stool. It's almost 2 a.m. Closing time is due, but he motions to the barman to get him one more drink. The barman approaches and fills up his small tumbler with sipping whiskey. So where did I get in my story? What had just happened?
Well, you know, I got a lot of other customers here. I don't rightly remember.
Charles, like, sits up and sort of squints through a bleary, drunken haze. Other customers? I remember. We'd just been attacked by some protoplasmic monster from beyond. That's right, wasn't it? That's what I was telling you.
That sounds about right for the number of whiskeys you had, yes, sir.
No, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm making this stuff up, but it's true. This huge creature made out of jelly. It was see-through and covered in tentacles like some dirty octopus or something from the deep. And I unloaded on it, but with my gun, as I say. Nothing happened. And poor old Ethan, he fired his elephant gun at it and blew a hole in it the size of Texas. The thing healed, it healed, I tell you.
Son, like son, hold up. Nothing is the size of Texas.
Yeah. No, it is a bloody big gun, I'll tell you that for sure. Anyway, Ethan was flung up into the air by this thing's crazy tentacles, spinning around in all directions. Camilla, I told you about Camilla, that doll from New York, she's probably around here somewhere. Kind of looks up and down the empty bar. Anyway, she shot her gun, but just nothing was damaging it. Now, Bart, he came running. I told you about Bart, didn't I? The crazy rich guy that we've been hanging around with. He threw a stick of dynamite, and the thing sailed through the air like nobody's business. And we could see it wasn't going to hit, but luckily the thing's flailing tentacles knocked it out of the sky instead of flying into the woods. And for a minute, like, Charles just gazes into his whiskey glass, imagining the explosion and the trees collapsing nearby. Now, I managed to shoot out the pseudopod with my guns, dropped to the ground, twisting my ankle, never been the same since. And the thing rose above me and Ethan. It was going to kill us, I tell you, kill us! And then suddenly, Bart, I told you about Bart, the strange rich guy, He shot fire from his hand, if you believe it. From his hand. And the thing just almost exploded, showering us in jelly. I'll have another drink, please, if you've got one.
At this point, the bartender switches him over to the special bottle he keeps under the cupboard, which is brown sugar and water.
Oh, that's good. Anyway, here you go. And he's... Charles settles up before stumbling out into the night.
So, cutting back to March 1933, there in the Bolivian forest, things are finally getting quiet Well, I say quiet. There is still the screaming and crying of frightened patients and medical staff coming from the tent. There's still the ringing in your ear from the exploding dynamite that went off in the woods. There is also this strange hissing baying sound that is coming from your midst. And it's at that point, probably, that the rest of you realize that when Ethan came back from the jungle, he did not come back alone. You've seen him, perhaps, calling to this creature and shouting Greg's name. But in amongst all the chaos, the shooting of the Bolivian soldiers, this thing that burst out of the woods, you've been a bit distracted. Now, however, you can see that there is this thing that is just howling into the night. This thing that looks like this monstrous lizard with the build and legs of a dog. This huge gaping maw with this viscous saliva dripping out. These beady little red eyes. This forked tongue flickering out, tasting the air. And I think this would be a good time to have sanity rolls off everyone. Obviously, except for Ethan.
Jeez,
I thought we were done with it. Greg, where's my gun?
Where was this roll earlier? I rolled a 5.
29, I passed.
39, I passed.
Against 80.
Okay, well, even though this thing is obviously deeply, deeply unnatural, none of you are at least freaking the hell out over it. On the other hand, it's still not right.
Yeah, I'll keep my body in between it and the tents, because the tents and the patients are already freaked out enough. I'm just going to be kind of make arms akimbo, kind of making myself a little wider, just to maybe block the view. That's quite a pet you've got there.
I'm totally annoying it, just gazing adoringly and stroking my snake.
At this point, Charles has reloaded and he's going up to it with his gun ready to shoot it.
Right.
Hold on now, Charles. This is Greg, Charles. And I'm basically letting Greg know Charles is a friend.
You've given this creature a name? Are you mad, Ethan?
These two reptilian eyes, these cold, dead, beady eyes, just look at you. You can see the firelight glinting in them as this forked tongue comes out and just flickers over your skin.
Like, well, flickers round the barrel of my gun, which I'm pointing at.
Greg, you've named it. Greg.
Yes, Greg and I are good friends. Did you not see him battling with us? He was helping us deal with this protoplasmic thing.
Okay, Greg, sit.
When you tell Greg to sit, Camilla, he does not sit. He does not pay any attention to anything you say.
Ethan, we've got women and children round here.
Oh, I'm like, sorry, I'll put my snake away. Oh, you weren't talking to me.
What was that, Bart?
Nothing.
I tell Greg to sit. I'm like, Greg, sit. And I'm making sure that Camilla kind of sees.
Okay, yeah, Greg sits.
Oh, well, he just doesn't like me.
It's not that he doesn't like you, it's that he's just obeying his master.
Right, well, what time is it?
It's early, well, kind of mid-evening, probably, sometime between 8 and 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And how many of the Bolivian soldiers have survived, if any?
Well, no one's really gone looking since the hail of bullets and the general raining death upon them.
Oh, I thought we'd killed them all. Shit.
No. Just that one tent. There were several tents of them, yeah?
I'm not sure if we're safe around here, but, like, gazes out into the darkened jungle. I'm not sure if we have much of a choice.
I'm gonna call Bart. Bart, come here for a second. I've got something I just want to show you.
Yes. Oh, nice doggy. Yeah.
Hand him the whistle that I picked up earlier.
I'm going to examine it.
Okay, give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
Nice.
Cthulhu Mythos roll.
Do it.
No. It's a 63 against 10. I'm afraid I don't know anything about this. Completely clueless. Couldn't have the faintest idea.
Whatever you do, do not blow on it.
The sigils and so on that are carved in it don't look quite like the work that you saw in say, your flame pistol or the little throwing knife that you found.
Ah.
Okay.
May I see?
I'll sort of hand it over to Camilla.
Can I make any kind of a roll to see those runes and sigils and any kind of a library or a psychology or a history?
The only something? Skill that's going to help with it is Cthulhu Mythos.
Nothing. It's lovely, and it would be a lovely accessory. That's all I know.
Well, for the time being, perhaps I should just keep hold of it to for future research.
Yeah,
I'll put it in the pouch next to a throwing knife.
You seem to be holding on to an awful lot there, Bart.
What? Well, I am the expert. I mean, if I'm not here for that, what am I here for?
And what's the camp doing at this point? The doctors and the patients?
The doctors and nurses are basically still trying to calm everyone down. At some point, Dr. Gomez does come over quite hesitantly and say, that thing, it's dead now, yes?
As far as we can tell.
Greg is very much alive.
he looks down in growing horror at this thing by your side and says,
you're talking about that strange creature. I don't think that godless thing was ever alive, but we've suddenly put it down. It's suddenly safe. And I kind of look over to Bart and just go, it is safe, isn't it?
Sort of looking like he just gives you a little shrug. Martini time?
Cheers to that. Definitely take one of those. Bullets didn't stop it. Fire did. So fire.
Gomez says, and you're certain there are no more of them out there?
Who's to know?
But I can't say I expected the first one, so the second one would be equally a surprise, one would think.
But I'm right in saying that they were called by the Bolivian army. Those strange soldiers that dressed as snakes. Snakes dressed as soldiers. Ethan, you're a tracker. How about we head off into the darkness and see if we can find any more of them, see where they've gone?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try and track them now. I head back over to the broken down kind of area to see, like, what was it? The huts, not the tents.
That's right, yeah. I mean, you can see that, they certainly the two officers both seem to be dead. When you blew into the other building with your elephant gun before and brought it down, mm-hmm. You can see that, there are, a number of bodies lying in there, but a few of them do seem to be, perhaps groaning and moving slightly. They're certainly not everyone's dead.
Hello. Greg.
These are people, boy. Right, we need to see if we get some rope or maybe there's a locked place we can find them. And, shout over. Gomez, is there somewhere we can lock these fellas? And that some of them need medical attention.
What, there are still survivors? And he turns around and starts shouting in Spanish, telling some of the, some of the other staff to come over.
But also, just an idea, treat them, yes, but maybe we ought to keep them contained and question them a bit.
I think you're right there, and maybe some of them are these, got snake under their skin. And can we kind of look
that's
a
an
bit
idea.
Closer?
Okay.
Anyone got some medical qualifications that can just see?
I've got a bit. Didn't do so well before.
How many survivors are we talking about?
We're talking about there were four soldiers in the hut, and two of them are still alive.
Well, two's good enough to get some information, I think.
If you give me a first aid roll, just to sort of check them over, Gomez is running off, getting some proper medical help, but you can give him a quick once over before he gets there.
I rolled a 29 against 50 for my first aid.
A 5 against 50 for my first aid.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, each of you obviously takes one of the wounded and looks them over. Mm-hmm. You're fairly certain that these people are human. I mean, they've got wounds in them, but unlike the wounds you've seen before, you can't see any trace of scales or anything underneath, just blood and flesh.
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's a relief.
These poor fellows think they're fighting for the Bolivian army when actually they're fighting for these godless snake creatures. Maybe we can question them.
Perhaps you could try and intimidate them.
So, English? Do you speak English? Either of you?
The men are going to need, you know, some medical aid before they're in any position to be interrogated. They're drifting in and out of consciousness.
Oh, I hate it when they slouch like that. Okay.
Perhaps Greg could wake them up.
if we get them onto a cot or some kind of thing, I'll take some rope, some vine, some whatever, and tie them to the cot. Tie wrists.
They do have ropes there, so certainly Dr. Gomez isn't.
Has Gomez come back?
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Gomez comes back with another doctor and a couple of nurses to, you know, and some stretchers. And he seems very unhappy about the idea of tying these wounded men up because they are in very, very bad shape.
We'll look after them, but there's something not right going on here. If you've got a locked room, or at least post a guard on them, don't let them go free.
Yeah, they may be unwitting accomplices, but they also may be in some kind of thrall to these interesting fellows.
Yes, but our first responsibility is to make sure that they're safe, that they recover.
Well, of course, sir, of course.
Oh, without a doubt, and I really would like them to wake up and answer some questions.
While they're doing this, I think I'm going to wander over to the... How much of this creature is left? The
What, the one you set fire to?
I keep wanting to say Shoggoth, but yeah, the huge beast. I don't know.
You don't know what it's called, but that name that was sort of lurking at the back of your mind, now that you're not under so much pressure... They were associated with some strange god, and the name comes into your mind something like Sathogua.
How the hell do you spell that?
Wrong.
Wrong.
It's a bit like, how do hedgehogs have sex? Very carefully.
I kind of feel like I should have a sanity check just for thinking of that name. I'm shooting myself in the foot, but this is Cthulhu. And I pass it.
Hey.
It's T-S-A-T-H-O-G-G-U-A.
That is a human approximation of an alien name, so spell it however you feel.
It's more phlegm. Okay.
The Q and the Z is silent.
So while they're doing that, I'm going to go examine this beast, otherworldly entity.
There's not very much of it left now. You know, the fire has ravaged most of, the mass. There's sort of crispy, burnt, carbonized bits. There's a few bubbling masses of protoplasm. The smell is now unspeakable. Yeah, the combination of burning and the sort of acrid, slightly acidic smell from its flesh.
Right. Is there a discernible... So earlier on, it very much seemed like this was a bizarre entity, almost held together, not flesh-like, but rather gelatinous. Does it now sort of appear to have a more corporeal form, or is it just sort of this oozing, melting mess?
Yeah, if anything, it seems to be even less cohesive than it was before.
Okay.
Did someone say that they were going to go and look at the two dead officers?
Yeah, I was trying to do a spot hidden.
Okay. So, you had a brief look at them before, and you were fairly happy about the fact mm-hmm. that the wounds you saw had traces of scales underneath.
Yeah.
I
will roll to take a closer look.
Okay.
Maybe even have Greg eat some of the flesh off from the top just so I can get a good look at what they actually look like.
Okay, yeah.
I'm genuinely curious.
He's so handy.
Quite happily. He'll quite happily rip bits of skin off and devour them like someone ripping the skin off a chicken and eating that. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So I rolled a 66 against 80.
Okay. You don't notice anything particularly unusual about the bodies. The only thing you notice is that there were a couple of backpacks in the room as well, and that sticking out of one of them, you can see just the fuse of a stick of dynamite.
Ah. So this is what I look like on the inside.
If you examine the knapsacks, you can see that each one of them has got, one's got three sticks of dynamite in, one's got four, they've got maps, compasses, and...
Hey guys!
What have you found there?
We've got some maps and compasses and things that these two lizard folk had. We should round it up and have a look.
Bring the light over here, let's see if we can find somewhere we can use... A tent or a building or somewhere that we can get out of this infernal, like swatting at all the insects around me. Yeah. This infernal jungle.
So I pick up the sacks and I strap them to Greg and we head over to a local or a tent nearby.
Yeah.
And can I bring out the two maps that I've already got? And Bard, have you got that the sketch that you made?
Well, yes, I do have it on me somewhere. Where's the copy I gave you?
I've got it here. I haven't ruined this one just yet.
Well, you can see that one of the, one of the maps, well, you think it's a map, is a rough hand-drawn diagram that looks a bit like the one you saw in Snakeskin before, but is actually just drawn on paper. The other one is very much like that, except it's superimposed on a map that looks, it's got legends on it in Spanish. It looks like it's probably been taken from the aid camp here. In fact, you can tell it definitely is because it's got a Caduceus logo on the back of it. And it's, again, it's got this sort of, circle with all these sections drawn over the top of it, some of them shaded in different colours.
Okay, I just can't get over the idea that these strange diagrams, so looking around, so there's these two, like, concentric circles, and in the middle is the dot, which I think is this place, this battle site on the map. But I don't know why they're shaded in purple, like, what could that mean, and what are these strange symbols, like, what could be at one of these places?
Well, I think the point of the military here is that they're going to try and take over the surrounding area. So, that my logical explanation, or at least Greg is telling me, that we should just assume that the purple areas are the areas they own, and the other ones that they don't. Isn't that right, Greg? That's right.
So, I mean, there's not much we can do tonight in this jungle. Walking around in the dark is just pure madness. But maybe tomorrow we should either search out these purple areas or... maybe some of the undiscovered, the unshaded areas. I mean, I would ask some of the locals, but they seem to imply that our presence there would desecrate whatever these are.
I have a question. We've examined the officers and ascertained that they happen. They seem to consistently be these otherworldly beasts, but what about the common soldiers? Do we have any examples of them here?
We have. Unfortunately, they were taken out by a blast from Ethan's elephant gun.
that's fine. I'm more interested in ascertaining their, interior construction? Whether they remain truly human or whether they are these snake men from an earlier age.
Well, actually, Ethan and Camilla have already examined them.
Mm-hmm. They were actually normal. They're not like me and you.
So it's only the officers that have been imitated.
And I'll have come back out from that tent since there's nothing more we can do.
Well, actually, as you're coming out, Dr. Salvatorelli comes up behind you again. And says, Miss Ravenswood, I'm so sorry to bother you, particularly after everything that you and your friends have just done for us, but we now have even more injured people Some of our supplies have been damaged now. We really need those additional supplies you were bringing back. And I think you mentioned as well that there was a radio. We really need to get in contact with Cadesia's head offices. Did your friends manage to bring all those back? We need them desperately.
Well, I'm afraid not. Some beastie in the jungle killed all the donkeys, and there were simply far too many supplies for us to transport. Not to mention the fact that we did encounter various dangers at the time. Perhaps now that we've dealt with these, if you could provide some extra manpower, we could retrieve them.
I think, and then Ethan went off to find a friend in the jungle there.
Mm-hmm. I actually think Greg could help as a sort of like a caring mule. Be good. Good exercise for him. Make him nice and strong.
Make him useful. Give him a job. I like that. But I do think maybe
Greg helps.
Maybe
he does.
Not so much in darkness. I think maybe first light.
I'm willing to make the journey if you really need it, Doctor. If you feel that the risk of us heading off into the jungle is worth it, then I'm sure. I, for one, I'm willing to volunteer.
No, I mean, we can certainly wait until first light, but you know, if you could head out as early as you can once it's safe, then you know, we would be most grateful.
How about this? We're worrying that there's more going on than... I mean, I don't feel I need to persuade you after seeing that crazy demon from the darkness. I feel that some of the patients and maybe some of your native helpers know a lot more than they're letting on. If you could talk to Gregorio again, and maybe he trusts you and he's willing to tell you about, and like I point onto the map where the battle site is, we think there's some sort of temple or holy place marked here on the map. If you could talk to Gregorio and maybe ask him what it is, and maybe, and then like look at the symbols around, maybe if there's anything of importance in these areas, it would be most obliged, and it may help us get to the bottom of whatever craziness is going on.
And as he's doing this, I really want to take a really good look at the doctor and see if I see any kind of reptilian shape to his eyes, any kind of anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, the one thing, I mean, you know, by examining the bodies that you did notice that perhaps gives them away, I mean, apart from the fact the faces look slightly broad and misshapen, is the fact that, you know, the skin doesn't quite meet around their eyes. There does seem to be this gap between, you know, the skin that's stretched over there and their real eyes underneath.
Does he look like that?
If you wanted to examine someone and just, you know, try to determine whether this is the case, yeah, give me a spot hidden roll.
Yeah, surreptitiously, just kind of a... My spot hidden is a... It's a 45. Let's see if I can beat it. Let's see if I can... Not even remotely close to 45. That is a 90. That's a huge fail. I just look like I am getting like a close talker to him. I just look like I am getting too close and a little bit too examiny. I look pretty quirky.
Yeah, it's dark. That you've only got a bit of firelight to go by. A couple of the creek lights have been damaged, and yeah, I mean you are tired, possibly. You're on the edge of being in shock. You can't really trust the evidence of your eyes at the moment.
Yes.
So, Dr. Salvatore says, yes, I'll talk to Gregorio. You know, let me see whether I can gain his trust after the upset and after the unpleasantness this afternoon. It may take a little while. Go and get some rest. There are some tents you can use over there. You know, please get some sleep, and maybe in the morning he'll be willing to talk to you.
Thank you very much,
Ethan. Is Greg a good watchdog?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's all he's good at. Greg, you stand, you wait. You watch.
Okay.
I'm just like gesturing at my eyes, gesturing out.
Okay, his tongue flicks out and licks over your eyelids.
No, Greg, stop. You're gonna go. He's just being affectionate, don't worry.
That's something.
Greg, you keep an eye out, all right? And I pat him on the head.
Okay. And yeah, he sits down and then sort of curls down on the ground, looking quite contented.
All right, I think we should head to sleep.
Yeah.
And make our way at first light towards the supplies. We've got to get our hands on that radio.
Okay, so should we turn for the night?
Yep. Okay, well, the night passes uneventfully. In the morning, you're woken up by this sort of crunching noise coming from outside your tents.
Greg?
What is that dog up to now?
Yeah, as you stick your head out through the tent flaps, you can see Greg lying there, chewing on what appears to be a human leg.
Greg, spit it out.
Drop it.
He looks at you and drops it. And you can see that there are some scales underneath the remains of the human skin.
Oh, never mind. Greg, go ahead. Finish it.
Okay. And yeah, he goes back and chomps it again quite happily, sucking the marrow out of the bones.
Oh, so good.
He's so cute.
I stumble out of the tent with bleary eyes and go, shouldn't have drank so much last night. What time is it? What's going on? Is that a leg? Oh, never mind. I need some coffee. Coffee. Who's got some coffee? Boy, Gonzalez, Gomez, is there any coffee around? Where's that young lass who was helping us yesterday?
You mean Dr. Salvatorelli?
Yeah, I'm going to go and stumble off into the camp in search of coffee, yelling at people who don't speak English.
Yes. Then eventually, yes, I mean, they, in the mess tent, they are making breakfast, and they do have some coffee there.
I'll get up and help make that coffee and kind of flavour it, make sure it's delicious, and help with breakfast and help feed the patients.
Well, I mean, Dr. Salvatorelli comes over as while you're having your breakfast and sits down and says, I've spoken to Gregorio now, and he's still reluctant, but he did say that he is not aware of any temple in the forest, but he says that there are a number of holy sites out there that he and some of the people here visit on special festival days. He refers to them, I think the best translation in English would be the Five Pillows of Slumber.
The five. And he mentioned, am I right in saying he mentioned like the sleeper? This something like that?
Yes. Something to do with the dreamer, some spirit that lives out in the forest.
I feel that we may have to investigate these holy sites. We're worried that the Bolivian army, or those believing they're working for the Bolivian army, may have desecrated them.
Or our charming scaly friends have been cultivating them.
Of course, you're probably more interested in the radio and the supplies. As soon as we've eaten, we'll head off to where we buried them and see if we can find them.
Any more mules to maybe help in camp?
Yes, there are a couple of mules.
Not sure that's entirely safe, because Greg likes to eat mule.
Well, keep him on a tight leash then. Greg, puppy, we need the mules, okay? We need...
Considering that Greg is probably about the same size as Ethan and slightly stronger, that's going to have to be a very good leash.
Greg doesn't need a leash.
Metaphorical kind of a leash. I mean, you seem to be...
all right. Greg, no eating the mules. Okay?
There we go.
He finishes the last of the foot and just looks at you.
Or radios. Tell him not to eat any radios. Or dynamite.
Greg doesn't like radios. There's no flesh in that. Don't be crazy.
silly me.
As much fun as this is, I feel we've got a lot to do today. Are you ready to head off into the wilderness?
Yes, we should go.
Okay. Well, let's you know, just you know, do this very briefly. There's nothing really that accosts you or anything strange that happens as you go into the woods and back out again. So you, particularly if you take a couple of mules with you, you can just make one journey out there. You know, it'll take you about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours round trip, including packing everything, and you can get all the bits back to the camp safely.
And as we go, I'll have Mary just run in the treetops and look for any more of those howler monkeys that may have had the armed howler monkeys, exactly.
Everybody wants my snake.
You do see a fair few howler monkeys up in the trees, but surprisingly few of them try to rain fiery death down upon you.
Good times.
It's because they're intimidated by Greg.
Yep, that's obviously it.
Greg, our Lord and Savior. All
oh,
hail Greg.
Here we go.
I think we should try and use the radio immediately.
Okay.
Yeah, we get back into camp. We hand over everything to Dr. Gomez and the others. Ideally, I want to head off as soon as possible, but let's see how it kind of develops when we arrive.
Okay. They're very, very grateful. And they say, you know, if any of you have got any technical expertise, I mean, we still had the radio mask. Happily, the soldiers didn't destroy that. So, and if you can hook up the radio to the radio mast, we should be able to get a signal and get in contact with Cadiz's HQ.
If only we had some kind of wily mechanic with us.
I feel that if we can get in contact with Caduceus, we need to talk to, and I like try and remember the letter. It was Shapiro.
Yes.
The Shapiro seems to know about what's really happening with this temple guardian and level 3 threats. I feel Caduceus know more about what's really happening here.
They do, but in the letter, it seems that Shapiro has some ulterior motives as well. So he may know even more than we know, but he also may be in on... he may be allied with these scaly brothers we've got here. So
you feel he's not trustworthy? You feel?
I don't know. I wouldn't... He sent us on a bait-and-switch kind of a mission here, so I think that he's... I think he thinks we might be expendable as long as he gets his, a mummy, he said? A mummy and artifacts and a temple site. Mm. So if he didn't tell us what's going on, I think that he didn't trust us.
Right there.
I don't know who else to contact it.
Well, let me try and set this radio thing in Rabab up. Oh, 13 versus 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend 3 luck and set the radio.
Excellent.
Spend
that luck. So you spend a little time hooking it into the mast and you get the batteries hooked up. The valves warm up and suddenly it crackles into life. And you, I mean, using the frequency that Gomez tells you, you tune in, and after a few moments, you hear a voice at the other end saying,
"This is Caduceus receiving."
Caduceus, this is Charles Blackstone. I'm kind of calling on behalf of Dr. Arturo Ussini. I need to speak to Shapiro. It's rather urgent.
Yes, hold please. I will relay you to Shapiro.
And there's a delay of a few minutes, and eventually, you know, this rather plummy voice at the other end comes across.
Yes, this is Shapiro receiving. Is that you, Ursini?
Unfortunately not. Dr. Arturo Ursini was murdered on the way to the Caduceus camp. This is Charles Blackstone. I'm one of the mission specialists that you employ.
Yes. I've seen your documentation, Mr. Blackstone.
Now, you're going to have to come straight with me, Shapiro, because the shit has rather metaphorically hit the fan, and we're dealing with some serious, serious things here. We've fought against lizard men and some kind of tentacle monster.
You've actually sighted the Temple Guardian. That's marvelous. What can you tell us? Can you give me a detailed physical description, please?
See, he knows. He knows all about this. And this is not.
Just stop there, Camilla. Just wait a minute. He's going to tell us. So you're going to have to be straight with us. The creature we fought has been, let's say, disposed of. Bartholomew Ormond set it afire with a golden snake.
Really? Oh, you'll have to tell me all about that. But yes, I suppose I'm getting ahead of myself. Did Ursini have a chance to brief you on the mission before his death?
That would be a negative.
Oh, then all of this must seem a bit overwhelming to you. Oh dear.
Yeah, well, we've managed how best we could.
Good.
To fill us in now.
Well, I mean, you do have to understand that we have to be very, very careful about who we admit to the inner circle in Cadesius and who we trust with our secrets. And so our standard operating procedure is to take likely prospects out on field missions and have an experienced operative actually evaluate you in the field to determine whether you are what we need in order to continue our fight. The fact that
how's that working out for you? Is that a good? Is that? Because I have to say, in this situation, it seems rather poorly thought out.
Well, the fact that you've survived and the fact that you've managed to drive off or defeat this temple guardian, that bodes very well indeed. It means we have chosen the right prospects for this, and yes, you are ready for admission to the inner circle. I can only apologise. Ursini, should have survived, should have been on hand to guide you through this process and take some of the confusion out, but obviously that was not possible. But, yes, where to start? Cadesius has more than one mission, as I'm sure you've probably worked out by now, as well as dealing with missions of charity around the world, dealing with medical aid missions. We use these missions as opportunities to pursue a somewhat more vital agenda. You mentioned that you have encountered creatures that appear to be human but are perhaps more serpentine.
Indeed.
Yes. I can tell you is that, yes, there is an ancient race of these creatures. We refer to them as serpent people. The vast majority of them are actually fairly benign, or at least harmless to humanity. They just, they hide in the shadows. But there is a radical faction of them that is waging war against humanity. They refer to themselves as the Inner Knight. And they are pursuing... We're not entirely sure what their agenda is, but let's say that it's not friendly towards humanity. And we rely on people like you to basically contain and neutralize the threat they pose.
And what exactly are we doing here in Bolivia?
Well, you see, the Inner Knight has become very, very interested in a lost temple that is very close to where you were. We believe that in a recent conflict in the war, that something changed and that this temple, which has been hidden for a long time, may now be accessible or revealed. We're not entirely sure of the details. The information we have to work on is quite scant and incomplete. But we believe that this temple contains a mummy, as well as some artifacts, but primarily a mummy that is of great value to the Inner Knight, and is of great value to us for the information it can provide us in our fight against them. So it is absolutely imperative that you find this mummy, you locate it, and that you bring it back to us alive.
Bring it back alive. Right, so...
Am I misunderstanding? Do you mean someone's mother? Because it was my understanding that mummies were by definition dead.
Ah, well, this one, we believe, is perhaps not entirely dead.
Could it be what's known as the sleeper?
So you would you describe them as mostly dead?
From what I understand, you know, the serpent people have access to a combination of science and sorcery that is beyond human comprehension. And perhaps, you know, in some cases, things like life and death don't quite mean the same things to them as they do to us.
I think there's a great difference between mostly dead and all dead. With all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do. Go through his clothes and look for loose change.
But with mostly dead.
We're going to need a miracle.
Oh, God.
Is there any kind of sorcery or anything other information you can provide to protect us? Or are we just going in blind?
You have been chosen for this mission because we believe that you are exceptionally capable individuals. I'm afraid you will have to rely on your wits.
Well, I don't know about you folks, but I feel like seeing this through to the end, even if it's just to protect the poor folks around here.
So you want us to go and find a mummy and it's going to be alive but dead and we've got to bring it back without killing
it? Yes, make sure it's alive when you return it to New York. Our scientists here need to examine it.
And what if it's dead?
Well, the scientists still need to examine it.
All right. I'll get it back to you, but I can't promise it'll be alive.
Make your way back to the landing strip and your radio. Let us know when you're going to be there and we will arrange for an aircraft to bring you and the mummy and anything else you find back to New York.
I hope he means that, because it does kind of rather seem like he thinks we're a bit expendable.
Is there any particular methodology of immobilizing
this is entirely outside any information that we have or any experience that any of our field teams have had. So again, we shall have to trust your ingenuity and your ability to improvise.
I think an elephant gun to the chest usually
that
does
never goes wrong.
I repeat, you are to bring the mummy back alive.
Yep. Alive, but with a hole in his chest.
Just before you go, we've had some information that suggests there are a number of holy sites, maybe shrines around the temple itself, or the holy site itself. Should we investigate them, or would you recommend heading straight towards this mummy creature?
We do not have any information on any other holy sites in the area, but it would seem... It would seem to be a huge coincidence if there were holy sites there and they were unconnected to the temple. I suggest you investigate both. The two are probably connected.
Okay. Roger that.
Just to cover our bases, we didn't know about the snake people. We didn't know about these... monkeys with fire apparatus things. Is there anything you're not telling us about this mummy? Anything? Can it cast? Can it use occult means to defend itself? What are you not telling us?
I don't quite follow what you're talking about with monkeys and fire. Nope. But beyond that... yes, I mean, there is, you know, from the documentation we have, the mummy is that of of an extremely powerful sorceress. I don't believe she's going to pose any threat to you, but, I suppose be prepared just in case.
Sorceress? Sorcery is not on my dance card. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know. Thank you, I think.
end communications.
I feel, I'm not sure whether we should head to these purple areas that are marked on this map, or maybe it's some of the non-purple areas. Are we guessing the purple areas are these holy sites that have been found already?
Well, I think, Charles, perhaps you're onto something. If we just investigate, we can kind of start discerning what the map actually means. So if we go to, like, a purple area and we find that it looks like people have already been there, we can...
The purple ones look nearer to where we are currently.
So we should definitely try to check out the purple ones first, I think. We'll have a bit of a reconnaissance mission, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, let's provision for the day and maybe take some... Well, we can carry so that, you know, if the worst comes to the worst, we can stay out.
We can set up a camp or something.
All right. In which case, yeah, I mean, you're all skilled at travelling around in such conditions, particularly after 3 days out in the wilderness, so you know what to pack. So it doesn't take you long to get yourselves ready.
Okay, and then we'll head off to the nearest purple area.
Okay, that takes you across the ford onto, you know, the area on Ursini's map.
Although there seems to be three areas before the ford.
Yes, okay, but I mean, taking you through there, I mean, those are just forest.
Okay, so we don't find anything.
You don't find anything there, but once you get to the ford and across there, you do see what is marked on Ursini's map as the battle site. And you can see that there does appear to have been some kind of conflict here. You can see that there's a burnt-out truck here, that there's, you know, bullet casings, there's some scorch marks. What appears to be, you know, even a few craters, like there's maybe been some artillery fire around here. And as you plough on a bit further into the forest, you can see... that there is, you know, in a clearing in the undergrowth not too far away from where this battle site is, what appears to be maybe some kind of stone structure. It almost looks like a very large well. It's got a stone wall around it. It's circular, and it's maybe 50 feet across. You can see that there's bits of broken stone all around it. And just this deep, deep hole going down into the darkness.
Can I make a navigate roll to make me feel if this is so matching it up, you know, with the sort of map that we found on the snake skin? Is this
it
one
is.
Of the purple areas, or is this the
no,
central
area? No, it's not the central area.
Okay. Can I make a navigate roll to see how far the central area would be? So that's 49 versus 60.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you reckon that the central area from here is probably maybe a quarter of a mile through the forest.
What do we do? Do we head down this well, or do you want to head on to the main area?
I'm not quite sure. I think perhaps we could check out this well. I mean, if we go about a quarter of a mile, we can turn around and, you know, if we don't find anything.
Well, can I have spot hidden rolls or tracking rolls off people?
I will throw you a tracking roll because I have not done that successfully yet.
Spot hidden.
Oh, I failed the tracking roll, though.
56
against
50. Yeah.
93, I failed.
Mm.
25 against 45.
48 against 75.
Okay. So those of you who succeed, you can see on the rim of this... this well, that there are some traces of black slime on it.
Gentlemen, perhaps I should draw your attention to the remains of what seems to be... And lady, of course. Yes. Fuck off, I have a migraine.
I'm a very good shot.
That too.
This does seem to be the remains perhaps the leavings of that creature that we engaged in the camp earlier.
Hopefully not more. I'd hate this to be entrance to a neighborhood.
Well, yes, I'd hate to you know, meet its mother or something.
The other thing that you see as well, you know, as you get a bit closer to look at that, is that inside the well, that there appear to be stone steps mounted into the wall, spiraling down into the darkness.
Oh, steps. Does it look like they've been grown over and covered in kind of vegetation, or do they look used?
No, they don't look like they've been used recently. They're you know, a bit wet. They've got mold and slime growing on them.
Just hang on. If this is a place that the Bolivian army have already visited, then surely we need to head to somewhere. If they've already been here, then they're going to go to the other places. Maybe we need to stop them doing whatever it is they're doing rather than visit somewhere they've already been.
I like your thinking.
Ah, yes. Hmm. The logic of the southern man, clear as mud. Like that accent.
Well, what are you saying there, fella?
Ooh, salt!
Sorry, I don't always understand British wit. Are you making a joke?
Only to those with the wit to perceive it.
Sorry, I can never tell. Is this British or is it a French accent you're using there?
Fuck off.
That's quite humorous, wasn't it, Greg?
I'd like to get Marcel to just kind of make a little monkey noise and throw a seed pod or a rock.
Okay.
Down that well.
Are you actually getting Mary to go down the well?
So it seems. No, I want him to throw a rock down the well. But I want him to make a monkey noise to be like, hey, I'm just a monkey. There's no one really here investigating you. It's just a normal, totes, normal monkey.
That is so clever, Camilla. You're definitely the brains of the operation.
Your rock sails down into the darkness, and it goes down. And down and down, and it's a surprisingly long time before you hear a very distant clink of rock upon stone.
That does not sound good.
Actually, it sounded like a rock hitting the bottom of a well.
Would you like to go in there, Bart? Be my guest.
No, I'd like to go to the temple to get the mummy that we can't kill to get back to fucking civilization in New York.
All right, I can't complain. I can't argue. Charles, I think your original suggestion of us going to try to find a camp that the serpent people are at is probably better.
So let's push on. As interesting as this thing is, I think we need to get to where the main place. We need to get there before the Bolivian army and those snake thing.
But also good to remember, this might be a back way in or out of, say...
What do you think we are in? Some kind of half-baked, poorly written adventure novel? Dear God, woman!
I think we might be in the middle of a fully baked, really well-written adventure novel. And I can't wait to tell people about it back in New York. So, maybe, but I agree, let's press on if you don't want to go adventuring down here and tell all your friends about the amazing back entrance that you found.
I found plenty of back entrance in my day, I think you'll...
If I'm right in saying, S equals UT plus half AT squared, so the fact that that took a number of seconds to fall down means it's a very, very long way down.
you could give me an intelligence roll to try to work out how far down you think it is.
Sorry, I dated a scientist once. okay, he gets a 63 versus, I think my intelligence is 40. I think it's a long way down, yeah. seven, eight, maybe 9 miles.
It's far too long for us to be walking. I think we need to check out another site. Perhaps not a purple one.
Yeah.
And let's go quickly. I feel that we've lost a lot of time as it is.
Okay. So in which direction are you heading? Did you say you were heading towards the center, or were you going somewhere
else?
Towards the center. So you've already made your navigate roll to work this out, so I won't make you make another roll. So, you carry on for maybe about 15, 20 minutes. In fact, no, a bit more than that, because it's fairly heavy forest. About half an hour through the forest. And eventually you come to what is quite a large clearing. And in the centre of it, there is a structure. You can see it's poking out of the earth. The earth around it seems to be disturbed. There is what appears to be a stone cone, maybe the tip of a cone, but maybe more of a helix that's poking up out of the earth, maybe about 10 feet.
From where we are in the forest, can we see any kind of entrance? Is there like a back passage going
not,
in?
Not from here, no.
Can I try and look for tracks?
Yeah, give me a tracking roll.
I'm going to use 6 luck and to get a success for my 56 versus 50.
In which case, yeah, you can see a number of tracks, including what appear to be army boots, and a number of tracks very similar to those that are being left by Greg.
Oh, guys, I think Greg's people are here. There's more creatures like Greg, I should say.
Is it just creatures, or are there people ahead of us? Are we too late?
Do you think did I spot regular tracks with them?
You spot tracks and army boots. Yeah. But looking at these, it looks like they've probably gone up, walked around this structure, and gone away again.
Yes, it looks like they've gone this way. They weren't alone. It's like creatures like Greg with some military men. They might have whistles with them, like the one I gave to Bart.
And have they entered this temple thing ahead, or?
It looks like it, yes.
Well, are you going up to examine it, or are you just staying safely at the edge of the forest?
I take out my elephant gun. No,
I was going to say, Camilla and Ethan, you folks are the best shot out of all of us. Can you cover us with rifles if we sneak ahead?
I would, yes.
Oh, good sir.
Ahead? Yeah. You mean in front?
So, Bud, me and you are gonna sneak ahead, as it were, and try and find a way into the temple.
You know, Charles, I thought you were foolish once, but yes, then I realized that you want to get in front of my elephant gun.
Okay, I'll pull and check my pistol, sort of running very nervously through just a quick function check and load check, and then I guess follow behind Charles.
Okay. Well, then you make your way cautiously up through the fairly small amount of undergrowth up to this structure. Like I say, it's poking maybe 10, 15 feet out of the ground. You can see that there's a fair amount of earth on it, but there is definitely a point at the top. And, yeah, so some kind of spiral structure heading down as it widens out into a cone. And looking at the earth around, the earth all around it looks fairly freshly disturbed. It's been turned over and there's no plant life growing on it. And it looks for all the world like this thing has just kind of corkscrewed out of the earth.
And there's no, like, convenient door or anything like that?
There's no sign, no sign of a door. No sign of a door or anything like that.
But can you see any symbols or any secret doors?
So can I examine the temple initially with anthropology, or is it just very similar to what we've seen up until now?
Yeah,
architecturally.
It would be more archaeology than anthropology.
Okay, so that's a fail, 60 against 40.
Am I right in saying, Scott, it looked like the soldiers and the monsters that are with them have gone up to this thing and then walked away having not found a way in?
That would, yeah, I mean, yeah, based on the tracks you've seen, that would be, you know, a fairly logical deduction.
Can I then just sort of, I'll light one of my cigarillos and start blowing smoke up against the side, looking for cracks and fissures and, what's the word I'm looking for? Like drafts.
Yeah, no, there's nothing you can spot like that. It seems to be absolutely solid.
So, Bart, I'm worried now that we've made a bad choice. There doesn't seem to be any way in here. Maybe one of the purple areas or one of the unvisited areas actually really are the way in, and we're short of time. The Bolivian army have got a head start on us. What do you think? Do we stay here and investigate more, or head off back the way we came, or to one of the new areas?
Well, let me just try one last thing. And in a very similar fashion to that which I used to control the serpentine, I don't know, magic wand, the flamethrower. I'm going to put my hand on the temple and push out my will, trying to seek out any magical doors.
In which case, give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll, because this is effectively spontaneous use of the Cthulhu Mythos skill.
Come on.
Come on.
Oh, no. 71 against 10. No.
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 So close.
61 look away.
You put your hand up, but this is just cold, dead stone.
So, having reached out, trying to exert my will in a similar fashion and failed. I am going to sort of redouble my will, just truly just
push the roll.
Digging yes. Just digging as deep as I possibly can within myself. Like throwing all sort of the walls that I've built to protect my sanity against the horrors that I've encountered. To the wind, just fully opening myself up to the magic and the wildness and the mythos, and I push the roll.
Marvelous.
And roll a 65 against 10.
So, yes, it isn't just cold dead stone after all. There is something very much alive down there. And as your mind reaches out, you can feel an answering call there. You can hear the sibilant voice echoing in your ears. You can't quite understand the words, but suddenly you find yourself tumbling down into darkness. The rest of you see Bart's eyes roll up into his head and just this strange hissing noise coming out of his mouth as he collapses to the ground.
And I think, can we leave that as the end of this episode?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much for listening. We will be back next week with the next exciting installment of Call of Cthulhu, the Two-Headed Serpent. My name's Joe, and I've been playing Charles Blackstone. You can find me at HWR Podcast. Dave?
Hey, I'm Dave. You can't find me online. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Curran. I've been playing Ethan, and you can find me on Twitter at HowWeRollCurran. Also, you can find me on Discord.
I'm Lisa Lee. You can find me on Twitter at Lisa Bell and on the How We Roll Discord.
And last but by no means least, we have Scott.
Yes, I'm Scott Dorwood, and you can find me at blasphemoustomes.com, which is the website I share with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, and is the home of the Good Friends of Jackson Elias podcast.
Thank you so much for listening. If you can't wait until next time to find out what happens and want to support the show, then please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. For just a few dollars a month, you get early access to the episodes and help the show keep going. This week, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our patrons and to welcome Wooter as becoming our latest Patreon. Before we go, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBars.com for sharing with us their music and sound effects. You should definitely check them out. And our partners at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms also have a gold chest code for you. All you need to do is log on to the game and enter this code. VEGOCOMMMUMUJOSS. That is all from us, and we will see you next time.